Great. Please do take a seat. Any of the boys and girls want to come to the front, then you're very welcome, because I feel very lonely here today. My mate Matilda, come to the front. Thanks, Alice. Anyone over there? Daisy, Annabelle, you want to come? Cole, Oscar? Here we go. Because you need to be able to see the screens. We're going to test Stephen today. Stephen's on the screens, and we've got a big load of images I want to show you. And he thinks he knows the order, but I might mix them up a little bit. Let's see how close he's paying attention. Okay, now, boys and girls, we are here today. It's a harvest service, isn't it? Does anyone know what harvest is about? What is harvest about? Anyone? Anyone have a guess? What do we remember a harvest? Could be a long one, this one, guys. We're meant to be having lunch together. It might turn into tea in a minute. Anyone? Harvest, I'll help you out, okay. Harvest is when we remember the crops that God has helped grow. Okay, so God produces a crop and we remember that. So that's why we bring some food. We remember that God produces the food. But sometimes in our life, we have a harvest in our own life. Sometimes the harvest is a good one and sometimes it's a bad one. So I don't know what your week's been like, whether you've had a good week or a bad week, whether the harvest of your week has been a good one or a bad one. For the Johnson family, it's been a harvest of stress and worry this week. Because look at this picture here. This is what one of my kids decided to do. Alfie, do you remember that? Yeah, so Alfie fell down the stairs this week and we were all very worried about him because he had a bit of a headache and was sick, but thankfully he's okay. So we had a big harvest of stress and worry. Now, I don't know about you guys. I know some church family, their harvest this week has been a lot worse. There's been some real sadness, some real disappointment. For some people, the harvest has been great. You've had great times and we praise God for those things. But what is true, whether you've had a good harvest or a bad harvest, is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And that's true whether you've had a good week or a bad week. And it's really important because the gospel is the hope that we have in a broken and battered world. Look at that, boys and girls. Our world doesn't work like it's meant to. Because of sin coming into the world, some people have really bad weeks. Some people have really bad years. Some people are sad. Some people are anxious and worried and stressed. Sometimes the harvest is a bad one. So we have to give them a message of hope. We have to talk to them about the gospel. Now that is true for us today, but it was also true for a guy called Paul who lived many years ago. You see, the bigger boys and girls here, they've been reading a book called 1 Timothy or 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy is about an older guy, a bit like Nigel, okay, an older guy writing to a younger, more handsome and vibrant guy, a little bit like me. And he's saying, listen, you've got to watch out, Timothy, because in your church are wolves. Look at this. Yeah. Paul says in the church, there's people and they're saying bad things about Jesus. They're like a wolf. They're telling people, Jesus is not God. Jesus is not the only way to God. Jesus did not rise from the dead. And Paul says to Timothy, watch out, because these are wolves. They're going to take people away from Jesus. And whenever anyone's taken away from Jesus, it means they lose their everlasting hope. So Paul writes to Timothy, and we're just going to look at a couple of verses today, boys and girls. And in these verses is the reason why Timothy writes the letter, or reason why Paul writes the letter. So if you've got a Bible, turn to page 992. I'm just going to read these verses. Because Paul is going to tell Timothy something really important. Okay, boys and girls, you just listen to me. I'll read this. So page 992. You'll notice I'm missing a really difficult section on church leaders. That's for Nigel. If you've got any questions, please see him. I'll take the easy stuff, although it's not easy. Okay, so verse 14, Paul says this. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things so that if I delay, you may know how you ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress or foundation of truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now, boys and girls, that's a lot of information. I realize that. But we're just going to think of two things today, I promise you. Because Paul wants to tell Timothy that the gospel is really, really important. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, it needs protecting and it needs to be proclaimed. So we need to guard it and we need to tell people about it. And God's got a plan. His plan is the church. So how's the gospel going to be protected and proclaimed? Through the church. And it's all about a person, Jesus. Okay, so the church and Jesus, they're the two things. You can't separate the church and Jesus. And you know, there's other things you can't separate as well. You can't separate Morecambe and Wise. You can't separate harvest from food. You can't separate Christmas from presents. And Stephen Gerrard can't separate himself from a slip. The two are inseparable. Many people didn't know there was a banana skin in that game. There it is. Some people get that reference, others won't. Okay. But some things that you can't separate Jesus from the church. So we're going to think quickly about the church. Did you notice what Paul says the church is? He says to Timothy, tell people how they are to behave in the household of God. Look at this picture. Look at that. Did you know, boys and girls, and bigger boys and girls, that we are one big family here today? We're one big family. So we are the family of God who meet in this building. That's amazing, isn't it? So if you look around you now, boys and girls, just look around you. I know it's going to be a bit weird, but you see all these people here. They're your brothers and sisters. I know some of them are a bit old, but they're still your brothers and sisters. And if you look around, these brothers and sisters are going to be with you forever in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want you to imagine this, okay? Imagine you've got a best friend. You've probably got a best friend. But imagine you say to your mum and dad, can my best friend come on holiday with us? And your mum and dad say, yeah, they can come on holiday. We'll pay for them. But as soon as your best friend comes with you, your best friend decides that they're not going to do anything your daddy tells them. So your dad says, okay, let's go up on the plane. And your friend decides they want to run around the airport. Or when you go to the hotel, your daddy says, okay, we're going to go for some food. And your friend says, I'm going to go swimming instead. Would you think your friend's being good? No. Is your friend trying to be part of your family? No. And that's what happens, boys and girls, when we don't do what God says. God is our father. He's the father of our family. And he tells us how we are to behave. And if we don't listen to him, then we're not being part of the family, are we? And Paul says it's really important that we, as God's family, behave as God wants us to behave. But that's not all Paul says. He also says about the church, not only is the church the family of God, but the church is the church of the living God. So that means, boys and girls, that we're here this morning, aren't we? And God is with us. Now look up, can you? Can you see God? Is he up there? Now, some people will say, ah, Chris, you're talking about when someone becomes a Christian, God lives in their heart. And that's true. But the Bible tells us that when we meet together on a Sunday as God's family, God is here helping us. So when you hear the Bible being read, God is here. When you hear people praying, God is here. When we talk over lunch or over coffee, God is here. Isn't that fantastic? Now you might say, well, I don't need to come to church on a Sunday because I've got God in my heart. But it's a little bit like me, okay? My name is Chris Johnson. Hello, pleased to meet you. If you haven't seen me before, I'm Chris Johnson. I'm a Johnson, part of the Johnson family. When I'm in work on Monday, I'm a Johnson. Look at this. This was the highlight of my week last. There I am. Stephen, very kind, he gave me a new golf jacket. And I was sending a picture to him because he left it in the office for me to try on. I was still a Johnson. When I go for my cup of coffee, I'm still a Johnson. But when I go home with these guys, look, I'm part of the Johnson family. That means that when I'm there with the family, they are helping me to be a better Johnson. I can be a Johnson by myself, but I'm a better Johnson when I'm with the family. And that's true for us, boys and girls. You'll go to school tomorrow and you'll still be part of God's family. You'll still be part of God's family. But it's better when we're together, because this is when we're truly God's family. God is helping us to be his children a little bit more. Okay? So that's why meeting on a Sunday is really important, because God brings us together as family. And this is where we can really be the children of God. Okay? So that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, the church is the household of God. The church is God's, where God lives. But he also says something a little bit strange. Okay? So, it's the household of God, and here today, this is where God lives. Now, that's really important, because God gives the church, us, a really important job. God says that we are to be the foundation of the gospel, and we are to be the pillar of the gospel. Now, what does that mean? Look at this picture of the foundation. Can you see it? A foundation. This church here, if you go under the floor, it's got a really big foundation. And the foundation has to be really strong, because look at all this stuff. The roof, the pillars, the balcony, all of it is putting weight on the foundation. And if the foundation is not strong, if the foundation doesn't hold tight, then all this is going to wobble. And God says that we, the church, we have to be strong. We have to be tight, because an enormous weight is going to come on the gospel. Do you know, boys and girls, there's people in your class who don't believe Jesus. There's maybe teachers in your school who don't think Jesus is God. And Paul is telling us, as God's people, we have to guard the gospel. We have to hold tight to it, because lots of people are going to say it's not true. So that's the first thing that we have to do. The second thing we have to do is you have to be a pillar. Look at a pillar. A pillar stands upright. A pillar is lifted high. Look at these pillars. They go really high into the sky. We are to be a pillar. That doesn't mean that we stand really high in the sky. But what we've got to do, we've got to lift the name of Jesus really high. We've got to proclaim it. We've got to shout the name of Jesus to all our friends, into our town, to the people we know. Because only Jesus is the name of, it can give this town and this world hope. So the question to all of us is, are we committed to the gospel? Are we committed to defend the gospel? Are we committed to proclaiming the gospel? Now, boys and girls, put your hand up if you like helicopters. Do you like helicopters? Oscar likes a helicopter. Well, Oscar, I've got a story about an old couple called Morris and Esther, and they loved helicopters. And each year they would go to an air show, and they would look at the helicopters, they'd talk to the pilot, they'd find out all the information. But each year, and there was always an opportunity to take a flight on a helicopter, but it was £100. And each year, Morris and Esther would look at each other and say, £100 is £100. But year after year, they'd keep going, they'd look at the helicopters, they'd find out, they'd talk to the pilot, but again, they wouldn't go on the flight, the ride, because £100 is £100. This one year, the pilot who got to know him, said, listen, every time you come, you do not go up in the air with me, because you say £100 is £100. This is what I'll do. If you come up with me and you remain silent, I'll let you have the helicopter ride for free. So Morris and Esther, they get in, they put the headsets on, they go up in the air, and the pilot thinks, I'm going to have loads of fun. So the pilot goes fast, the pilot goes slow, the pilot goes high, goes down, even does loop the loop. And he's amazed that Morris and Esther have remained so silent. So as they're just about to land, he says over the headset, wow, guys, you're amazing. You've remained quiet all the way through. Was it easy to do? And Morris says, no, it was really, really difficult, especially when Esther fell out. But at the end of the day, £100 is £100. You see, Morris was committed to something. And we've got to be committed to the gospel as well. We've got to be committed to the gospel. We've got to be willing to sacrifice our own reputation, our own time, our own resources to defend it and to proclaim it. Because the gospel is the only message of hope in our broken and battered world. Now, boys and girls, I'm just going to finish really quickly. Some words are going to come on the screen. And this is a description Paul gives of Jesus. And as we think about these words, we're just going to think about how these words give us hope. How these words are hope in this broken and battered world. Okay, so Paul says this about Jesus. He says that Jesus was appeared in the flesh. Jesus appeared in the flesh. So can I just borrow this a minute? At Christmas time, we remember, don't we, that Jesus came to this earth as a baby. You see, we don't follow a God who's distant and uncaring. We follow a God who entered this world and knows what the stresses and troubles and pains of it are. So when we experience those bad harvests, we can call out to God who knows us and can be a very real help. Thank you, Matilda. But that's not all, because we also learn that Jesus was vindicated by the Spirit. That's a really tough word, but it just means that Jesus came back from the dead. And that means that all of us, if we trust in Jesus, can know for sure that he has paid for our sin, that he's taken the punishment that we deserve, and God raised him from the dead to show that we can now be part of his family. What else do we learn about Jesus in this? We're seen by the angels. Jesus went up to heaven. Do you know what Jesus is doing now, boys and girls? Jesus is reigning over everything. Everything that happens in your life, Jesus knows about. Everything that happens in your life, Jesus knows about. There's no gaps in God's sovereignty. If you're a Christian here today, this promise is true for you. All things work to good for those who love God. It might not feel like it, but Jesus promises that's true. And he's in heaven now, making sure that all the things in your life happen for your good. What else do we learn about Jesus? He was preached among the nations, boys and girls. The Holy Spirit come down, opened our eyes and our hearts so we could receive Jesus and we can become part of his family. Next one, believed on in the world. Do you know how many people are Christians today living on this planet? Do you want to have a guess? How many people do you think, Matilda?
One.
You're funny, aren't you? No. Is it more or less than 1 billion, do you think? It is. It's 2 billion people living on this earth right now, a part of God's family. Imagine them coming round for dinner. Imagine how long it would take to do the dishes. I'd actually like that because I like the dishes. But that's a huge family that we're part of. And this message of Jesus, this gospel, God doesn't discriminate. This message is for everyone. This truly is a message of hope for the whole world. And then finally, was taken up in glory. Boys and girls, if you don't listen to anything else I've said, just listen to this one thing, okay? And I want everyone else to listen to this as well. I can't promise that anyone's harvest will be better tomorrow. Your harvest, it might be a bad harvest for a week, a year, a month, whatever that is. But I can promise you this. Because of Jesus, a day is coming when we won't have any more sadness. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more death. All those stresses, all those worries, that anxiety that you feel, one day it will be gone. And that's not some fairy tale. That's not some me trying to kid you, some kind of kidology. Because Jesus came back from the dead, because of the things that Jesus did when he was on the earth, he has shown us what that life is going to look like. And it is a life that we need to tell people about, because it is the only hope in this broken and battered world. So boys and girls, we've got a job to do, haven't we? As the church, as the people of God, we're to protect the gospel and we're to tell people about the gospel, because Jesus really is the only hope of this world. Let me pray and then the musicians will come. Dear Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what it tells us. It's a challenge and it's difficult, but we pray you would help us to be the church who protects and proclaims the gospel, knowing that it is the message of hope for this broken and battered world. Amen.